The Forward Thinker Show is available wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, it's Coral, and welcome to The Forward Thinker Show, the podcast where we share the stories and expertise of global leaders in business and technology. Today, we're joined with Cheryl Powers, the Vice President of the Cuban Heritage Society, and now Director of Social Media for NFIU, yes. And she's also worked with Breaking Tech Miami for a whole year, right?
Like almost a year.
Almost a year as an assistant, program assistant. Yeah, so this is an amazing day. Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for inviting me. Bueno, Carol, the interesting thing about you is because you started as a physics major.
Yeah.
And then now, you changed your major. Now you're in computer science. Those are like such, like I heard Elon Musk say like the top two things you should study is physics and computer science. So you already got one part down. This is the second part. So my question is like, how during your transition, how was that like? How was your transition from physics to computer science?
Some background information for that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what to come in as. Mm-hmm. All I knew was I really loved astronomy. I loved planets. I loved stars. I was pretty okay at math. And I was homeschooled since like second grade. So not only did I never have the experience of going to public school or having an advisor, because I know public schools do something like that where they have an advisor or they talk to you about it. And so you have some guidance there, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that guidance at all. I was completely going in blind. I didn't know how the applications worked at all. Both my parents never went to university. Mm-hmm. So I'm a first-gen kid. So there was really no support. So I was doing some research, and I was like, oh, physics. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to FIU. I only applied to FIU, actually. Mm-hmm. I didn't apply to any other university.
Wow.
So and I've heard that's, like, a big thing. Because people usually apply to, like, 8 or 10 schools. I was like, no, I applied to FIU, that's it.
Go Panthers! Mm-hmm.
And then I came in as a physics major, really excited. But I was a little let down because since I was homeschooled, I didn't have any, like, proof that I was good at, like, science or math. Mm-hmm. Like, any APs and things like that.
Yeah.
So they put me straight in college algebra.
Wow.
So there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. But for me, I felt like kind of like lesser behind. I felt super behind because in my physics intro class people were already doing calculus 2 physics 2 and I was here and people were like, what math are you in? I'm in college algebra. So it felt really degrading because I was placed in that way. But it's fine, I kept going. I had amazing friends I made along the way, amazing roommates because I lived on campus. And then come winter, I see a poster in PG6 and it says we're doing a winter guild by Breakthrough Tech. And it's about computing, programming. You're going to learn fun stuff like that. And I was like, I've always been bad with computers. I have no idea how programming works or computers work. But I was like, I'll give it a shot. You know, say, yeah, why not? So I did it. I convinced 2 of my friends to go. We made a team. We went. And it completely changed my mind.
Really?
It completely changed my mind. So, like, the community that organization built for that workshop that I did was beautiful. Yeah. That's what made me want to switch. Yeah. And, like, I felt so appreciated and so welcomed. And so not only a community, but also guidance at the same time. Something that I was lacking from home, from family, from everything. Because even the friends that we make in college, they also, like, we're all learning too, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, luckily I did that. And then the doors opened from there. I realized there was a lot more opportunities that computer science could give you than physics could. So, and the community at FIU for computer science is just super supportive. There's so many more, like, organizations you can join for that.
Yeah.
So that's also what convinced me to go. But I never actually switched until a year later because I was still stuck on the idea of, like, physics, you know? So that's kind of what it is. I switched, like, a few months ago,
Yeah, it sounds like you said that you're first gen and that your family, like, didn't know how to support you. Like, I understand that because I'm, like, my family came from the Dominican Republic as well, and they really didn't have an understanding how the system worked. Like, where is your family from?
Cuba.
From
Cuba, yeah.
Yeah. You grew up over there, or how?
No, I was almost born there, but luckily my parents were allowed to come a few months, a month or two before I was born, and I was born here in Miami. Okay. That's great.
That's so good. But you did mention that you felt kind of lesser than, and you felt kind of uncertain about your abilities when you were in physics. How was that with computer science? How did you feel with computer science when you transitioned?
Not gonna lie, I still kind of felt the same way because, again, I had never been tech savvy. Mm-hmm. I never owned my own computer until I got to university, freshman year of FIU. Mm-hmm. So I was like, if I can't do physics and I can't do computer science, what really is it for me? Because I was still stuck on the idea of doing STEM because I really like math.
Yeah.
But even with that, even with getting an A in a class or the professor saying I'm a good student or just, like, it's still, I don't know why, there's still that feeling that you're not good enough. You know what I mean? Almost like, kind of like imposter syndrome where it's like you're still, you're doing the work and you can obviously tell that you're above your peers. But for some reason, you just still feel like you can't. You can't do it.
Is there like a strategy or like how do you overcome those doubts? Like what's your strategy for overcoming doubts?
So for like overcoming doubts, just doing it. Just doing it, saying yes and going for it. That's also that's honestly what
saying
I do.
Saying yes.
Yeah. So like if I feel lesser than or I can't do it, I'm just like, you know what, I'm gonna do it still while having that bad feeling. But at least I did it, you know, so then I have something to show for it after. And that's kind of how it is. You just have to do it. Even if you feel bad, if you feel lonely, you're going to feel lonely. But that's just how life is. Like, you just have to do it. Honestly, just do it.
Just doing it while you still feel that scary feeling. Doing it while people are better than you. Doing it while you feel alone. Just keep saying yes. But like, do you mean yes to just like what are you saying yes to?
So by yes, it could be like opportunities. Say yes to literally anything that comes your way. You know how Nike has just do it?
Just do it.
Yes, you have just apply. Just apply, just do it, just say yes.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing. Like when I did Winter Guild, I looked at it, I was looking at the application, I was like, I don't know. I was with my friends and we were like, oh, we don't know, maybe we shouldn't do it. But something in me was like, just do it. Like saying yes and applying or doing something is gonna get you so far, and there's no like negatives. There's no negatives to saying yes because let's say you apply for an internship, right? The worst that can happen is you don't get the internship. You're back at where you started before you even applied. But applying gives you, maybe take out 5 to 10, 15, 20, maybe 20 minutes out of your day to apply to get such an amazing opportunity in the future when there's really no negatives to it. So saying yes, when people ask you to do things, but also knowing when to say no, you know?
Yeah.
Knowing your boundaries, but saying yes as in like work opportunities, like how I came here, this is really nice, how I worked for Breakthrough Tech, when I applied for the Cuban Heritage Society, and when I applied for INIT. So it's all just like, even if you don't believe in yourself, you have to just push yourself. That's what it is. You don't believe in yourself or you still feel that feeling, but just push yourself to do it. Because at least you prove to yourself, I can do it, you know?
Like, yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I will.
Yes, I, so you can, it's not like you thought about it. You actually just go for it.
Go for it,
you
like
even,
head on.
You even did a pitch competition. Did you have experience in a pitch competition before?
No. I'm telling you, I was homeschooled. I was like, I've never done a presentation in my life. Luckily, the friends that I had in the group helped out with that. But we presented and it went pretty smoothly. So I did mess up in the beginning. I forgot to say my name. So a rookie mistake. But it happens, doesn't it?
I mean, like, saying yes is not only for, like, opportunities in getting better as a computer science student. But also, if that's something, if you want to, like, build your own business, or you want to start working with a team of engineers, and that is something that's very intimidating for people. Just like working with engineers, it's a thing. And the thing about you is that you're more of a personable like person. So how do you even feel so comfortable just like talking to people, things like that? What is it? How do you do it?
Socially. So
what's the trick? What's the trick? The secret sauce.
So okay, you just it's kind of being a people person, not a people pleaser. That's completely different.
What's the difference?
So a people pleaser is you go out of your way to make yourself uncomfortable to please others. That's not something we should strive for. No. People person is someone who is able to build connections and keep those connections for a necessary amount of time. You know? So that's how I see the difference. And I'd rather be really, no one should strive to be a people pleaser just because it hurts us more than it hurts anyone else. But to be like a people person and socially, like how you were asking, you just have to be, I guess the secret sauce is being genuine when you talk to people. So, and saying, like, when you say yes and you want to listen to people, be genuine. And sure, maybe you're not interested in talking to the person. Don't force yourself to be genuine, right? You don't have to force yourself to be genuine. I say the key to being genuine is to be curious about people. I think that's something that, like, is one of my most advantages, is how you say. That I'm just really curious about, like, the world and learning everything I can about people. So even when someone's talking to me, if I've never met them or I'm not interested in what they're talking about, I'm still really curious about it. And I'm paying attention. I'm nodding along. I'm listening. I'm asking questions back. Like, oh, did you do this? Did you go there? Really? How was that? Just because just being curious allows you to facilitate the control to be genuine in your emotions. And that's what people love to see. And that's how you can be more of a people person, right? And that can help you in saying yes and getting more opportunities, getting internships, and even with, like, friendships, too. So I guess that's, like, my secret sauce.
Your secret sauce. But, like, could you tell me, like, a time, like, a story of how that helped you, being genuine helped you, and how...
Yeah, sure.
Because I think there's this, like, there's this thing with engineers. There's, like, a thing where you are not genuine about your approach to getting opportunities, whether that's getting a job, an internship, or, like, pitching to an investor, or anything like that.
Like, they're very robotic.
Robotic, where they don't see people. They see the name of a company, and then that's what they're doing. That's what they're going for. They're not they're not looking at people. I find that, like, after I don't know if you guys know, but, like, after being so many conferences with quote-unquote business people, quote-unquote techie people, the number one thing that's helped like, anyone is being genuine. Like, literally just being genuine. And so I want to know, was there any a time where you were being genuine and that's helped you? Like, a story of something that happened that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch, honestly, but, like, off the top of my head right now, so I'm a second year student right now. This is my, I'm in spring, this is my fourth semester. When I first started FIU in fall 2022, again, I was completely lost, no guidance. I remember there was a career fair, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, learning about different careers, going, I don't know anything about that. Maybe that could help me out. So, and then I told a few friends, and I was like, oh, let's go. And they were like, no, that's for seniors. Only seniors go to that. Only third years go to that. That's not for freshmen. I don't, we're not going. But I went with one friend who luckily I managed to take with me. We were walking around. We were listening. And surprisingly, all the employers there, or, like, student organizations that were there, were more interested in us because we were freshmen, right? And there was this one specific lady I remember. Her name is Natalie. I love her so much. She's helped me so much. She was advertising, like, the club here in the Mark building. Something to do with that. I don't remember exactly what it was. But we were talking with her, and we were telling her, we're freshmen. We're just looking for some help. Like, we don't know much. Some guidance. We just want some guidance. And she was like, no, yeah, like, this is amazing. She started talking about herself, about opportunities she's gotten working with Mark and being at FIU. And, you know, I was there. I was asking. I was like, oh, what opportunities? Oh, how did you do that? How did you apply? How did you like it? How was it? How long did you stay there? Things like that, you know? And, again, being curious. Secret sauce, being curious. And we ended up talking for 2 hours or over 2 hours at that career fair. So And come to date, like, a year and a half later, she's one of my closest friends. Wow. And I consider her a mentor. And wow. she's like, I'm like a mentor for you guys, for you wow. two. And whenever I need help emotionally mm-hmm. or school-wise or opportunity-wise in the Mark building, she's always there. She always answers so fast. Mm-hmm. It's just such a beautiful connection we made, all because I said, yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm just going to put myself through it. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to be curious mm-hmm. because that's how you can become genuine and seem genuine to people so that people want to stay connected to you. Mm. And you can keep those lifelong connections that will help you out in the future, right? Because mm-hmm. all the connections that we're making, people want to make connections with you, right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, knowing everyone is a plus. Mm-hmm. As many people as you can. In a curious, genuine way.
In a genuine way. Yeah, because some people, they know a lot of people, but they don't know a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'd say, like, being curious, listening. Again, people love talking about themselves.
Yeah, that's why we have this podcast, bro. Just to, like, juice her up, bro.
No, thank you. No, yeah, like, I mean, looking back at it, like, preparing in advance for this, looking back at it, that's, like, the one takeaway I can give people is being curious, wanting to learn. Mm. Because that's in us since birth, since children. Like, it's in us as children to go out and play with the dirt and play in the swings and, you know, kick the ball, see what happens, to play with physics, to play with computers, to play with everything. Yeah. So being curious is not difficult. That's why I'm breaking down the whole being genuine thing into just being curious and wanting to learn, because that's built in us as humans.
Yes. So. I feel like now there's a lot of people who are afraid to try something because of a concept called analysis paralysis, where when there's something they want to do, but before that they want to think, oh, I should do this, I should think about that. Let me research and go down a rabbit hole of like 300 YouTube videos.
And never get to it
because people are afraid to look stupid. People are afraid that if they try, they're going to fail. Yeah. Have you ever, like the first time you tried something and you failed, how was that experience?
It's hard. Oh. It's not easy. It's not easy for anyone because no one wants to fail at something. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, really personal story. So, again, remember I said I was homeschooled since second grade. I remember I was in 6th or 7th grade, maybe 5th grade, one of those, right? I was taking Algebra 1. So the way I was taught was we had, like, an instructor, like a tutor, so like a mathnasium or something. And you go there and they teach you, right? I was learning Algebra 1, and comes the end of the school year, I take the exam and I fail. Wow. Algebra 1. I fail it. The tears. I was crying. I felt like such an idiot. I felt so, like, unworthy of anything. And I was there telling my parents, like, I'm so stupid. Like, I'm not cut out for this. I can't do anything. If I can't do Algebra 1, how am I going to even graduate high school at this point?
Yeah.
Luckily, I studied really, really hard for a whole month. I was dedicated, just learning. I managed to pass with a C, I think. And look at me now, taking Calc 3 at FIU.
What? Oh, you're taking Calc 3 right now?
At 8 a.m., girl.
What?
I'm tired. I'm sleepy.
No, so you've been able to get progress at math?
No, yeah. Math is one. I love it. Wow. So I got, once I passed that hurdle, I did Algebra 2, got an A. I did trigonometry and geometry, got an A. Pre-calc, got an A. I love pre-calc. And then I got into university at FIU, college algebra, A. Pre-calc, A. Calc 1 in the summer, A. Calc 2 last semester, A. And now Calc 3. Wow. So it's kind of like that bouncing back, you know?
Yeah. Did that experience of, like, this is the worst, I feel so stupid. And now, did you feel better the other time you tried
like algebra?
The second time you tried algebra.
When I studied for that month and did it again, I did not feel better. No, honestly.
What did it get better?
That's really hard to pinpoint because the way you feel about yourself is always constantly changing. So in a week from now, I'll probably, it depends. It all depends. But I was happy that I managed to pass that time of life, algebra one behind me, algebra two, let's see how it goes. But I think I was more worried than anything because I'm also the oldest in my family. So I'm the older sister. I have a younger brother. It's just us two. And he passed algebra one with an A. So I had that complex where I was like, am I not, like, I can't help my brother. I can't do anything. I can't help anyone. How am I going to become successful in the future to help my family or to help myself, to help my brother? When I did it again and I passed with a C, I was like, at least it's good enough. It's at least good enough. So that good enough gave me motivation to continue going. But it's not like I did it and I was like, okay, I'm fine now. I passed it. I'm fine. No.
It was like you had to, it had to happen multiple times for you to feel like, okay, this is just part of the process.
Definitely.
The failure and the trying and the crying is part of the process. It's for all you part of the process. To get to Calc 3, you know? Like, you can't get to Calc 3 unless you to, you gotta cry a couple times.
You know. Yeah. Even taking, even when I started doing, again, when I was put in FIU and I started off in college algebra, I kind of got flashbacks to when I failed algebra 1. Because I was like, am I not good enough? Like, I thought I changed. I thought I left that behind. But again, it always comes back to bite you in the butt. It's always going to come back to bother you. But you got to just keep going. Like, just keep going. You can't let that stop you. Because if I had let that stop me and I switched to something else, I wouldn't be here today where I am. And I'm thinking back to it. I'm so thankful that, like, I'm so proud of younger me.
Yeah.
For being able to put up with that.
To stick through. Carol, I'm going to turn on this camera again.
Oh, okay.
Turned off. You don't have to repeat your story because it's recording. But
this is fun.
But the camera, it's a cheap camera, so you gotta work with it. Like every 20 minutes, it like turns. You're very adamant about like your Cuban heritage, right?
Yes.
Growing up, like, now let's talk about, how did you learn to make friends? Because you used to be homeschooled, and so from that transition to only being surrounded by a few number of people to coming into the largest Hispanic serving institution in the United States. That's a big leap. That's a huge leap. How was that?
It was not easy. Not easy. So, yes, I'm very adamant, and I love advertising that I'm Cuban. I mean, ever since I was little, people were like, oh, she's so pale. She's so pale. Like, oh. And I was like, no, but I'm Cuban. I'm Hispanic, I swear. Like, I love my parents. We're family. Like, I love eating rice and beans.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Like, I love advertising it. I love it. So, I wish I knew more, too. I think that's all something that, like, first-gen kids have. Like, they wish they knew more about their heritage. But, I mean, the thing with making friends, like how you said, being homeschooled since forever, literally my whole entire life. while I was homeschooled, I guess you could say it was maybe easier for me to be homeschooled and to be alone. Because the number one thing my parents and my grandparents always instilled in me was that friends are not worth it. Friends are going to stab you in the back, and don't make friends. Don't make friends. They're not going to help you. So I'm telling you, when I lived my homeschool life, second grade to 12th grade, I never had a friend. I never had someone I could genuinely say, like, you're my friend. I can trust you. I can say something. So, and I'm just like, it's whatever. Like, I've grown from that. Like, going to FIU, I wouldn't want to say friends have become my life, but friends have become my life.
Wow.
So that's really, like, transitioning from that was so difficult because I had to go against everything I was taught since practically birth. So I know it might have been hard for my, it was definitely hard for my parents and my family coming from Cuba, being, you know, probably stabbed in the back by family members, just no one trusts each other. So it's all very, everyone's on their tiptoes, you know?
Yeah. There's a, like the government there is kind of.
Oh,
it's a whole Roman Empire over
it's
there.
It's a whole Roman Empire over there.
Yeah.
So, Cuba's like the country with the longest dictatorship.
Wow.
Currently. It's like up there with North Korea. So that's also why I joined the Cuban Heritage Society, because I want to do more. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do more for myself and for, like, people like me, because I know there's going to be people around me. But back to the thing about, like, friendships and that, they told me, never make friends. They're going to stab you in the back. They're not worth it. So I never had someone I could genuinely be like, you're my friend, or let alone a best friend, you know?
Yeah.
But going to FIU, I started dorming at FIU. Just because I was really trapped. Like, I felt so trapped being at home, you know? So just not having a way out. It was always, it's always been me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. Because we, just to start off, we have a super small family. And the family that we do have, again, everyone's on their tiptoes. It's just, it's just really hard. But luckily, like, I love my parents so much. I love my brother so much. So I have them to back me up. But even them, they still believe, like, friends, keep them at a distance, you know? But coming to FIU, getting roommates, meeting you, meeting people, right? They've really become, they're, like, up there with family now. I don't know how that changed in me, but I just, luckily, I was able to adapt. Again, probably being curious, being genuine helped me facilitating friendships. But, you know, just, like, again, pushing yourself, going for it. I was really hesitant. I love my roommates. I love the friends I've made. But even till this day, I don't feel super trusting of them. Just because I have that, like, little rock in me.
I mean, that was a lesson you were...
It's a lesson that
they were telling
printed
you,
onto me.
Yeah, since second grade. Yeah, so that's
it was
a long
printed
time.
And, like, it was printed onto me. So it's like, I'll meet someone. I have an amazing friendship with them. I've known them for, like, 2 years. But I always have that thing, you know? Like, I feel like I can never fully trust someone. And, you know, other students probably feel that way, too.
Yeah.
They probably, maybe they were taught that way, or maybe they just had bad luck with making friends. But that's me.
Yeah, I find that people are kind of not, I think it's probably in our department, too, that people don't know how to socialize properly.
And it's
like you have that, but then you also have people who genuinely want to connect with others. I don't know how can we like mend that situation.
So man, like the difference between having a group of people that don't want to socialize and having a group of people that want to make genuine connections.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, like, in both, right? Because I want to make genuine connections, but that, like, switch in me hasn't switched yet, and I hope it switches soon. I guess the best you could do is just talk to people. Always try to be curious. Like, what I'm saying, just always try to be curious. Try to learn about the person. Try to be genuine. That's all you can do. You can't force someone else to try and have a conversation with you. Because maybe literally they just don't want to talk. Or maybe you wore an outfit one day they didn't like, and they're like, I don't want to talk to that person anymore. You know, it could be the most randomest of things, that it's not about you. It's more so about, like, the situation and the person that you're talking to, you know? So what you can do is what you control.
Yeah.
You can only control yourself. You can't control how people are going to react. You can't control how people are going to respond to your questions. So I guess being on my toes my whole life, like, being on, you know, like, always having to be active about that has kind of helped me in that sense, too, and can help others. Just always kind of, like, being hyper-aware, because, unfortunately, that's just how humans work. That's just how interactions work. Not everyone's going to want to talk to you. Not everyone's going to want to listen to you. But all you can do is just be there. And just, if you want to make the connection, try and be genuine, try and be curious, try and learn about the person. that's honestly what you can do. And there's going to be people that won't want to talk, and that's fine. You can't.
I think, like, college students, I don't know why, but they're a different breed. I think it's the fact that this is the only time where you're gonna be surrounded by people your age doing different stuff. Yeah. And then, like, everybody here is like, they're all trying to figure out what they want to do, or like if they do have something in mind, they're like very, very, very set on it. And you meet all kinds of people that you wouldn't have met otherwise. Yeah. And I'm just, and it's kind of like, it's so interesting. So, who's a person that you've met that's like so way out of like someone you would usually meet if you weren't here?
That's a really interesting question.
Because you've met a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met a lot of people. I honestly, I don't know. I'm not really like to mm-hmm. judge people that much. Like, again, I just want to learn about everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there's some people, I never thought I'd get into CS to begin mm-hmm. with. So that's why when I made the switch, I was like, mm-mm. So I guess all the friends I've made in CS are kind of like that, just because I never saw myself in the puddle of being smart with tech. Mm-hmm. But there's honestly, like, I've never met someone where I'm like, oh, I wish I would never talk to them. Mm-hmm. You can always learn from anyone. Mm-hmm. Even if you feel uncomfortable around a certain person, you'll learn to not enjoy talking to that person. In the future, just try to minimize the conversation. Mm-hmm. But it's an ecosystem, bro. We all live in an ecosystem. Yeah. Just talk to people. It's never that deep.
Yeah.
That person's here trying to succeed. Mm-hmm. Trying to get food in the future, you know, just get money so they can get food, get housing, live their best life. Yeah. We're all trying to live our best life. We're all learning. So try and not be super judgmental. Try and forgive, because you also never know what the person's going through.
You never know.
So I remember this one time, I used to tutor students for like math and science. I think I was in like 11th grade when I started tutoring. And there was this girl who was taking Algebra 1, mm-hmm. and she was struggling. She was getting a B, and she's a perfectionist.
Oh.
And I'm listening to it now, and I'm like, damn, no. But she was like, I'm so dumb. Why can't I understand this? I can't do any of this. What is happening to me? I'm the problem. My parents are like, why aren't you getting an A? Why aren't you getting an A? And I was just like, Let me connect with you. Let mm-hmm. me tell you a story. Because mm-hmm. I was tutoring her for a few months now. Mm-hmm. And I saw how she was just, like, always belittling herself mm-hmm. and doing it to herself. And she's also the oldest daughter of a Hispanic family. Mm-hmm. She's also first gen. And she's in, like, sixth grade. Mm-hmm. So then I told her the story. And she's like, wow, you, Carol, mm-hmm. you really failed Algebra 1? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't. Wow. I didn't. And look at me now. I'm teaching you, and I'm going to FIU. Like, mm-hmm. it's great. So mm-hmm. don't belittle yourself like that. And that kind of, like, healed the inner child in me a little.
Oh.
Because I went back, and I was like, I might tear up. But, like, I went back, and I was like, oh, like, poor Carol. She had no one to, like, tell her this before. But luckily, like, I can be there now and just, like, tell that to her. But, yeah, we both kind of teared up when I was telling her the story, just because it's a lot of pressure. It seems kind of like a... like boberia, like it's just like a random thing. Mm-hmm. No, don't get too upset about it. It's just a class. No, but it's like really ingrained in you. Like you mm-hmm. have to do perfect. You have to be perfect. The poor girl, she was, I couldn't, I like saw myself in her, and that just helped me talk to her more. And I just, that was a story that really stuck out to me now. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like a tangent. No. I went on a tangent, but yeah.
I think one of the things about here, Miami, is that we are surrounded by a bunch of like Latinos, Hispanics, mm-hmm. and one of the big things about Hispanic first gen families is like the pressure. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure. The pressure, because you come here, and then not only do I have to succeed, but I have to succeed in another language, and I have to succeed in another language. And I have to succeed, and my parents don't understand what's going on here because they didn't grow up here. And
that's
so,
a whole other thing.
And even the whole pressure of like going into college is a whole thing. getting an internship, it's a whole thing. Getting a job, it's a whole, it's like the same stress every, it gets repeated. If it's not the, like, I feel like when I was looking for an internship, it was the same stress I had when I was a junior in high school trying to get into college. The whole college application process is the same as the whole internship application process. And it's the same as the job application process, or if you're applying for housing. It's like the stress is never,
it's never ending.
It's never ending. And it's all, and it comes from your family. It's like, oh, echa pa'lante. You gotta do better. You gotta do good. And so that's what, that's everything you're thinking about in that moment. That's what I'm thinking she's saying. Like, everything she's thinking about in that moment is like, if I don't pass this class, then I'm not gonna have anything. Yeah. And so it's like for other students who grew up here, it's like, oh, if I don't pass this class, if I don't pass this, you know, a test, and I'm not going to pass this class, and then I'll just retake it, whatever.
Yeah.
But then for us here, it's like, you want to, you have to get into college because that's what we came to this country for. That's for your better future.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. I'm just like,
I could also go into that a little bit, like, so for me, my parents don't understand how university works. They're like, oh, credits? Like, what is that?
What is the, yeah.
I'm taking 17 credits. That's a lot. And they're like, no, but you can still work, right? You can still do this. You can still, like, do a full-on job. And I was like, I mean, can I? Like, will I be okay doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with me specifically, my parents never pushed the idea of going to college. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, like, I will go to college because that's what everyone does, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I applied, I went and I was like, oh, I don't know what to choose as a major. And my parents are like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. As long as you make money, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
So it was kind of like, it felt like a free for all, you know? Mm-hmm. But I didn't like that because it didn't, like, give me a backbone to do something, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really, like, help me in being concrete in what I wanted to do. Like, sometimes I wish there was more, like, forcing me to do a specific thing, because they left all the options open for me that I had no idea which way to go and which way would be right for me.
Because they didn't know.
Because, yeah, they didn't know, and it's not their fault. They didn't know. They don't know that it's as serious as, like having a degree is serious.
Yeah.
And going to college and taking classes is a full thing.
Yeah.
They don't know the length to which that is, you know? And you can't blame them because it's different. It's just, it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, like, you can't blame the student for feeling all these emotions and wanting to cry and taking it so deeply because we also don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm also just learning. I remember I'm a year older than my brother, right? My younger brother, he just got into FIU.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was applying, it was the most confusing thing I've ever done in my life, because I had no idea how to go. Not to mention I was homeschooled with that, too. So when it was his time to apply, I had to help him. I had to help him apply for scholarships. I had to make him do this. I had to walk with him here. I had to take him to the one stop. I had to go to this office. And it was all on me because I had already done it.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's that pressure there, too, of, like, since you're the oldest in a Hispanic family, you know that you're automatically looked at as the first help.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm the first one to go to college. I'm the first one to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to look up to me to do it. But I'm also so confused. I have no idea what I'm doing.
It's like, so you kind of have to be the one to have the courage to do things, even though you're scared, so that the people who follow you, and, like, your brother, like, your little brother, your family can see you as a source for help. But that's a lot of pressure. And it's a lot.
I like being in the position of, like, having people look up to me, but it's also so draining, and I'm sure you know it too, like, a bunch of people know it too, like, it's something we all share. It's so draining because in a Hispanic family, when you're the oldest, you're looked at as you're the one doing it, like, it's your younger siblings' turn to do it, but you're gonna do it for them or with them, right? Because you're the oldest, that's your job. While also taking 17 credits, having a part-time job, and being involved in a bunch of clubs. And trying to eat, go to the gym, read your textbooks, study, and go to the library, go hang out with friends, try and make friends, right?
this whole thing.
All while trying not to, like, burst out in tears.
Sometimes you just gotta...
burst out in tears.
Just burst it out.
Oh my God, Carol, this is such an insightful conversation. I think what's so important is like what I got from today mm-hmm. was like you feel the fear and you do it anyways. Like you overcome your doubts, and that also applies to connecting with people, being genuine with people. It's helped you so much. And also like what was the last thing you said was
I guess to sum it up, it's like wait. Going back to your childhood and wanting to learn, just learning about people, that helps you being genuine.
Carol, this was such an insightful conversation. What are some key takeaways so that, let's say, someone who wants to be an engineer, who's a first-gen Hispanic individual, mm-hmm. you've gone through failing, you've gone through... like, you know, making connections even though you were homeschooled before. Like, you're the type of person who would have been, you were literally ground zero. No math knowledge, no computer science maybe knowledge, negatives. No connection knowledge. But now you're in Calc 3, you've made connections. Key takeaway.
Okay, key takeaways, not in any order, but just go back to that childhood version of yourself, to mm-hmm. that baby in you, where you just be curious about everything, wanting to learn about everything, wanting to learn about people and how their day went, what they do, and that'll help you be genuine so that later you can make long-term connections. Mm-hmm. You can keep those connections, mm-hmm. and, you know, that'll help you out with friendships, that'll help you out in the business world, trying to get an internship, mm-hmm. because... secret, getting an internship is not just about your tech skills. Mm-hmm. A lot of engineers, a lot of students focus on their tech skills, the tech interview, but a big portion of it is how you work in teams, how you work, mm-hmm. how you handle yourself and how you handle others, right? Yeah. So, again, be genuine. To be genuine, secret sauce, be curious. Want to learn. Always say yes. Always say yes to opportunities that you can get. If someone invites you to do a podcast, say yes. What's the worst that can happen? You talk bad? Edit it out. apply. Just bad. Do it. Just apply to internships. Again, the worst that can happen is you end up where you already were. Mm-hmm. You know? Even before, the worst that could have happened before I even got to this podcast was I just didn't do it. Yeah. And you never learn from that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather do it and learn from it and maybe not get anything out of it, mm. then have never done it at all, you know? Because wow. you still learn from that. Saying yes, being genuine, being curious, wanting to learn. Just be, and another thing, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's like Ooh. A saying. Be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Yes. And with going through things with that fear in you. Mm-hmm. Because, sure, you may look at me now and be like, wow, she's... director of this, vice president of that, she's mm-hmm. doing this. I'm scared. I have that fear in me. Mm-hmm. I'm worried. Everything I do it with that worried feeling that sometimes, you know, that fear. Mm-hmm. But I still try to go through it. I still put myself through it and try to keep a smile on my face, all the while still trying to learn. Mm-hmm. If you go into anything just wanting to be curious and learn, mm-hmm. you can never go wrong. Like, you never go wrong. Yes. So.
Thank you so much, Carol. This is great.
I'm glad. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Forward Thinkers Show.